Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to hour three of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and we are going to dive into the latest here on COVID and the policies and all the rest of it. I think there's still a bit of a shock that a lot of people are going through, and they realize that there's not only a federal mandate that's, I know they say, oh, you can get tested every day, but there's basically a federal mandate in play, or every week. That's in place. That means you got to get the shot if you have over 100 employees. But when celebrities, if they're on the left, ask questions about this, they're treated very differently than, say, your run-of-the-mill supposed Trump supporter. They don't even know necessarily, but if it's a white guy in a red state who asks a question about the vaccines, the left is going to pounce. They're going to say, oh my gosh, you're killing grandma, you're an awful person. Meanwhile, we have a very different approach. Clay, you know what? I'm going to put a pin in. I had a great thesis there. We've got the one and only Senator Rand Paul with us now from the great state of Kentucky, as promised. Senator Paul, thanks for being here.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with Millie, actually. We want to talk to you about COVID, and you've been somebody who's trying to get real answers, both about the policies of Fauciism and also the origins of COVID-19 and the lab leak theory. But first, it seems to me, I mean, I was a CIA guy. If I had seen something like this going on when I was back in the federal service, Senator, with what General Milley did to President Trump, would have been deeply concerning. Today, they're saying he's a hero on the left. What do you make of it?
I think he should be interviewed today under polygraph and ask whether or not he told the Chinese generals or government that President Trump could imminently attack and that he was going to try to prevent that. The real big danger is, one, you go outside of the chain of command. We have civilian command of our military, and it's a very important part of the way our structure is set up. But second of all, if you're insinuating that the president is a loose cannon and could attack China, an accident could happen. You know, every day we launch things into space that are satellites and non-military weapons. But what if one of those was seen as a military launch because Milley has now teed the Chinese up to think, well, Trump could actually do this? So it's really a disservice and could actually lead to accidental nuclear war by, you know, getting the Chinese on alert to think something was going to happen, that there's no indication other than Milley's warped sense of things that actually anything like that could have happened. So, no, it's not surprising the left are rallying, but I think he should be interviewed today under polygraph. And if this is true, that he was actually insinuating that the president could attack China, he should be immediately removed and never anywhere close to a command position again.
Senator Paul, appreciate you coming on with us. This is Clay. When you get Dr. Fauci back under oath, given the further documents that have come out from The Intercept, do you believe that he will still be able to deny gain-of-function research dollars from our tax support there? And when do you expect him to testify under oath again?
He's never answered the question. He says anybody who accuses him of supporting it could be lying. But he's actually publicly on many occasions, he's been quoted in the Washington Post as being in favor of gain of function. He's been quoted as saying that even should a pandemic occur, that this type of research is worthwhile. Now he's changing his mind, but there has been a cover up here. Most certainly on January 31st of last year, he was emailing throughout the night, covering up his tracks and trying to get everybody on the same page that this didn't come from the Wuhan lab, because he knew if it came from the lab, that his funding of the lab would come into question and that there would be responsibility, at the very least moral responsibility, for this lab and for this leak and for this pandemic, frankly. So the debate goes on, but no one on the left is ever asking the question. No one on the right is allowed to interview him. The people on the left who interview him yuck it up and coddle and say everybody's a conspiracy theorist who doesn't agree with them, but they never ask him the tough questions. Even the other day, he was finally on CNN, asked the question about natural immunity from those who were infected.
Yes.
And he said, oh, that's an interesting question. We should look into that. Really? You're in charge of the whole damn thing, and you've been in charge for 2 years, and you haven't looked into natural immunity? Over 100 million Americans have gotten infected, and you're trying to mandate vaccines on people who worked in the hospitals and protected us and took care of us without a vaccine, before the vaccine, who got COVID. You're trying to force them to be vaccinated? No, I think it's inexcusable, but probably the worst thing is this. He still trusts the Chinese. and the FOIA request, the Freedom of Information from The Intercept, reveals that there's still money going. There's a grant from 2020 to 2025. There's still U.S. taxpayer dollars going to the Wuhan lab.
We're speaking to Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Senator Paul, the future here, as you see it, when we have a federal mandate slash testing requirement, and already a bit of foreshadowing from Fauci, among others, of the possibility of a vaccine passport mandate for flying on planes domestically. Where do you think this is going, and at what point do you expect that enough Americans will finally see this for what it is, that they won't be able to keep pushing these mandates, lockdowns, and so-called mitigation measures?
I'm against any and all the mandates. Most of the mandates haven't worked, really. If you look at any mask mandate or any social distancing mandate, the incidence of the disease went up after each mandate. There's no evidence, if you compare all the areas that have severe mandates versus those who have lax mandates, there's no correlation with death or incidence of the disease. So really, they do these things without any proof that any of them work. The thing is that if you're doing a mandate and you're ignoring the science of natural immunity that you get after infection, then you're really not obeying the science. I don't think the courts are very good with the freedom argument. The freedom argument is that we live in a free country, leave me the heck alone. But they do sometimes have a reasonableness standard. If the regulation is not reasonable, so if it's arbitrary and capricious, which I think it is, if you don't count the 100 million people who have been infected, and the studies are all showing they have at least as good, maybe even better immunity than the vaccine. Once again, not an argument against the vaccine, but an argument that if you've gotten this and survived, that we should count your immunity. It should count for something. But if you don't count that at all, and you completely discount that, is it now an arbitrary doctrine that is not reasonable? I think we have a decent chance with that in the courts.
Senator Paul, we had Dr. Mockery on yesterday from Johns Hopkins. He wrote an article, I'm sure you saw it, in the Wall Street Journal, talking some about natural immunity. And yesterday when we talked to him, I raised the question of chickenpox. And I think this is an important analogy because a lot of people out there listening to us, especially if they're around our age, Senator, had chickenpox when they were a kid. And the CDC specifically says, according to Dr. Mockery on the website, that if you had chickenpox, you don't need to get the chickenpox vaccine. There now is a chickenpox vaccine because you have natural immunity. Yet they are saying the exact opposite, going to your arbitrary and capricious standard as it pertains to the COVID vaccine mandate. As a doctor, is there any reason that you can see for a difference between chickenpox and COVID when it comes to natural immunity?
Well, we used to use our brain in these things. We used to think them through. For example, the flu vaccine was not mandated for children because children weren't severely affected by the flu. It was more risky for older folks who had other comorbidities. So really, up until recently, the flu vaccine was never recommended. Now, there's some who argue that there's a monetary interest in spreading the mandates to other people. I don't know if that's what motivates people, but it concerns me. With chickenpox and other things that are not deadly, you know, it's kind of hard to argue for some kind of mandate where you're not allowed to go to school, you're not allowed to travel. With COVID, if you're under 25, the death rate's about 1 in a million. So that's less than, you know, being struck by lightning. So really, are we going to mandate masks, mandate vaccines for non-deadly diseases? Sure, it's deadly for other people, but the rest of us can take a vaccine if we want to. Vaccine's not perfect either. And I try to mention in every interview that there is a treatment if you get sick. Dr. Fauci doesn't mention this. The government doesn't mention this. But you have to ask your doctor, particularly if you're developing a bronchitis and they're thinking about putting you in the hospital, please ask your doctor about IV monoclonal antibodies, because if they admit you to the hospital, Dr. Fauci and the government doctors have forbid the hospitals from giving you IV monoclonal antibodies. Their argument is it doesn't work as well. That's perhaps true. But if you've got a 10% chance that it works or a 20% chance that it works and it keeps you off the ventilator, wouldn't you want to try monoclonal antibodies? But as it stands right now, if you get admitted, once they roll you through the doorway from the ER to the main hospital, they won't give it to you. So by all means, if you have somebody that gets sick and they're going to the ER, ask them in the ER, ask the doctor, can I have the monoclonal antibodies before you admit me? Because once they admit you, it's this boneheaded government rule, an absolute rule. They will not give you the monoclonal antibodies.
We're speaking to Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. And Senator, it's Buck. I want to know if you think that there's going to be a push in some of the blue states. I mean, Gavin Newsom is still going to be the governor of California this winter. Kathy Hochul up in New York replacing Governor Cuomo, former Governor Cuomo now. You think that we could go into another period of lockdowns here?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen over time is that the people who are into this nanny state lockdown sort of way of thinking, ultimately, people who believe in freedom and want to be left alone won't go there. I mean, even now, you can travel across the country. I live in a state ruled by a Democrat governor, and it's different here. If I go to Florida or Texas, I just visited my family in Texas, you know, there's freedom there, and people are doing, you know, as they wish, taking their risks. In a free society, everybody takes risks every day, and they're assessing their risks. They've been vaccinated, particularly the young people. Look at the football games across the country. People are trying to go back to enjoying their life. They're not being, you know, careless. Look, over age 65, 90% of people have been vaccinated. It's a huge success. What in what world do more than 90% of the people ever agree to something? Over age 50, it's about 75% of people have gotten vaccinated. They say this is a failure. It's an absolute success, and they're wanting to force people now that aren't at high risk to get vaccinated. And for that, you have to prove to them and keep proving to them that the vaccine is almost perfect. If there's almost no chance of dying below age 25, you've got to really convince people that it's almost perfect to take it. And people, some have already decided, but my goodness, I wouldn't force a healthy person, particularly if they had COVID 3 months ago. What kind of doctor would try to force them to get vaccinated if they've already had the disease when the studies are showing that natural immunity is as good or better than the vaccine?
All right, Senator Paul, let's pretend that you are president of the United States right now. And I think there's a lot of people listening right now that would say, my God, that would be amazing. But let's pretend that you were. What would your policy for COVID be? And how different would it be from what the Joe Biden administration and Dr. Fauci are doing right now?
It'd be one of persuasion and encouragement. I'm not anti-vaccine, but I'm pro-freedom. I would give people the options and the science. The science shows that above age 65, without question, the disease is more dangerous than the vaccine, even if everything's not known about the vaccine. Even at a lower age, in all likelihood, behooves you to do it. You know, my wife got vaccinated. She hasn't gotten the disease. She's been exposed 5 times, but she got vaccinated. I've been exposed to the disease. I've gotten the disease, and I've chosen not to get vaccinated. But, you know, I've also said that if the statistics change, I'm not completely closed-minded. If tomorrow a study comes out and says, you know, all the people who got it a year ago, there's now a 3% chance that you'll die if you get it again, it's like, well, maybe I'd go ahead and get vaccinated. But if I'm finding that it's very rare, if never, almost never, that people have been infected before are dying, you know, then I think, you know, and with my age, I put it all together, I make a decision. But as president, in a free society, you allow people to make their decisions. It's kind of like this. A year ago, when it was raging in January, if you said, if you're 80 years old, should I go sit for 2 hours in choir practice for my church? I would not make a rule saying you couldn't, but I'd probably make a public service announcement saying we are seeing spreading events in choir practice or when you're in a closed space for a long period of time, and the recommendation is not to do it. Remember when the CDC had recommendations? You know, that's what it was. Now they have abrogated contracts for rental contracts. What kind of world do we live in when the health authorities are saying you don't have to pay your rent? I mean, it's a bizarre sort of Big Brother world we're entering.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Senator, appreciate you making the time for us, sir, and for all the clear thinking. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
Clay, we'll come back into more of this in a second. Also, your calls, folks, 800-282-2882. You know that number. The lines are open, 800-282-2882. How many movies have been made with the premise of stealing gold? And which one's your favorite? Stolen or purchased, gold has been the envy of mankind for hundreds of years. That's because it's the one currency that always holds its value. Through good times and bad, it's the constant, the steady course. If you don't yet own gold, it's time you do. My partners at Oxford Gold Group have made buying precious metals, including gold, easier than ever before. If you want it delivered to your home, that's possible. It's easy, actually. And there's nothing like that real gold arriving on your doorstep. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833 404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group. Call them now, 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. The lines are open. 800-282-2882. 800-282-2882. Please follow me on Twitter at Buck Sexton. And you can also get a quick rundown podcast of the Buck Sexton Show, which is early in the morning, only about 25, 30 minutes long. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, it's a kind of a quick hits rundown of everything and is a good preview of often what we're going to do here for 3 hours. So we have Lou in New York City, New York on the lines. What's up, Lou? Lou, how are you? Hey, Lou. No, he's not there. Okay. Bruce in Mesa, Arizona. You're on the Clay and Buck Show. What's up, Bruce?
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call. The thing that concerns me the most about this General Miley thing is Fort Meade records everything we say. Think of the levels of people who knew about this and didn't blow any whistles. I'll take my answer and your comments on the air. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Appreciate it. No, look, if we recall, there were many people listening to, and there was a kind of transcript of the Trump call with Zelensky, the Ukrainian premier, I believe the president of Ukraine, if memory serves. And yeah, there were other people. We knew there would be other people be listening, and they still acted like, oh, that was some nefarious, evil thing. So let's remember that while they may say now, oh, but it was all done in the open. No, it clearly wasn't. I mean, the president didn't know about it. And even if there were people who were aware of it, if there are others, Clay, who were too honestly scared to blow the whistle on what Milley was doing, that doesn't mean that what Milley was doing was okay. And there's also the possibility that they liked it because they're Trump derangement syndrome sufferers as well at senior levels of the U.S. government.
What's so frustrating about all of this is it's all COVID related, right? Because everything is a natural outgrowth of the ridiculousness of COVID hitting in the middle of a contentious presidential election. Because without COVID, every one of the deranged Trump lunatic attackers has nothing to hang on him. And then it's like they got a gift in terms of a politically expedient virus that they were able to berate and attack him with when there was otherwise virtually nothing other than mean tweets that you were going to be able to argue were an issue for him. And so it's just so wildly frustrating that all of this spiraled out of that.
Come back here in a second with more thoughts about everything going on with the California recall. COVID lockdowns in the future, could that happen? We asked Rand Paul about it. What are we finding out from the data? But in the meantime, Margaret in New York wrote in with a customer testimonial here for Rough Greens. Both of our dogs, she writes, love Rough Greens from the very beginning. They finish everything and then lick their bowls clean. They seem to have more energy also. We're both very impressed. Like, I was just with Tallulah last night. She licked the bowl clean. She loves Rough Greens added into her food, and she has more energy, and her tummy is more settled now. That's because Rough Greens has vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants, stuff your dogs need. All your dogs out there. This will help them be healthier, live longer, and be more fun to be around. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love Rough Greens, they've got a special deal for you, our listeners. Go to Rough Greens, that's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Appreciate you hanging out with us, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land on a Wednesday, mid-September. Breaking news here. Reading from Fox News, this is a statement from, at the time, Trump's acting defense secretary. He says this is Christopher Miller, who led the Pentagon from the 2020 election through Inauguration Day. He says, and I'm reading directly from the article, he, quote, did not and would not ever authorize Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, to have, quote, secret calls with his Chinese counterpart, describing the allegations as, quote, disgraceful and unprecedented acts of insubordination, and calling on Milley to resign immediately. Miller, who was, again, the defense secretary at the time of these alleged calls, said the United States, from its inception, has, quote, operated under the inviolable principle of civilian control of the military. And I'm reading directly from his statement. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is the highest ranking military officer whose sole role is providing military specific advice to the president, and by law is prohibited from exercising executive authority to command forces. The chain of command runs from the president to the Secretary of Defense, not through the chairman. He's referencing the allegations made in the book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. And he says, that this is a violation and that this should lead to an immediate resignation. Again, he says, as Secretary of Defense, I did not and would not ever authorize such conduct. And this is pretty wild. He also said, sorry, Buck, to what you were saying earlier, any accusation President Trump was intent on starting a war with China are completely unfounded. President Trump absolutely believed and advocated for a more aggressive approach to China, but he was elected to end our nation's wars, not to start new ones. I was proud to play a small role in achieving those goals. He also wants a full nonpartisan investigation. Again, says the genius of our founders and following generations is that they established a system and culture of subservience of the military, the most powerful force in our nation, to civilian control. I mean, this is pretty aggressive statement from the acting at the time defense secretary.
But you and I both know that they already have the built-in excuse, right? Which is that this is the acting secretary of defense for the insurrectionists, for the Trump administration. If this were the current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, then you might actually see a resignation. But this is not going to move the needle of resignation one bit. They've dug into the narrative. Here is somebody, though, who a lot of folks probably like, wait, who is this? The acting Secretary of Defense. He's a guy from inside. He's not somebody who was associated with being some mega Trump partisan or something. But nonetheless, he's just saying that this is outrageous. It's obviously outrageous. All of the people who try to justify this always leave out the, wait a second, who thought that it needed to be explained to China that Trump wasn't going to start a war with them? Because that's flatly insane. Right. This is kind of like Clay with Russia collusion from the very beginning. I said, this is I'll tell you, the president, President Trump said this to me himself, and I can't use the exact quote because we're on radio, but he said,
yes,
it's a very stupid idea is what he told me. He didn't say very, he said something else about Russia collusion. You know, Trump had colorful language. He told me this in the Oval Office. I was like, yeah, sir, absolutely. It doesn't even make sense. You're going to give the Russians leverage over you to find a way to cheat, and you're going to hope that they don't get caught. In an election, you think you're going to win fair and square, but you're going to go with Putin, you're going to trust the rep. Trump would never have trusted. The whole thing was so crazy from start that it all should have been dismissed out of hand. It's kind of the same thing here, right? I mean, you look at this, you start from the premise of we had to have an explanation from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to the Chinese that don't worry, we're not going to start, as you've said, World War III. That's insane. What is that even? Why would they think that? Well, it's because Milley and the other people, Trump and the insurrection, the vote. Watching too much CNN, man. CNN rots your brain. It's like putting polonium in the center of your cerebral cortex or something. It's bad.
Well, and again, this goes to the very essence, and I think this is why the defense secretary acting at the time, his statement is so important, is he directly references the subservience of our military to civilian control. And that's why when this story came out yesterday, it strikes at the very essence of our fundamental structure of government that you would have a, quote, secret phone call taking place where a military official at a high-ranking level is letting it be known that he won't be following the directives of the democratically elected president of the United States, which is why, Buck, I think this is such a big story. And if people would just get out of their partisan worldview, if you can, this is what I always used to say. This is the way that I would connect with sports fans back in the day, Buck. Sports fans are intently tribal. They believe whatever their school does, especially in college sports, is justified. And whatever somebody else does isn't. And I always say, hey, if you think one school is paying for players, imagine that your school did it. The difference between the way that you think those should be treated is bias, right? So in this situation, strip away Trump. Strip away the president. Don't even consider the party. Is it appropriate for a military official to be on a phone call with a Chinese foreign adversary or any adversary of the United States government arguing that he will not follow the directive of the commander-in-chief, the democratically elected president of the United States? No. This is a flagrant usurpation of the entire purpose of the Constitution, regardless of political party.
But you have to remember as well that the true hashtag resistance believers always thought, and this is going to be crazy for people to hear, but everyone who's listening knows this is the truth. The true hashtag resistance believers thought that Trump was never the legitimate president of the United States. So they can justify anything to themselves under this rubric of it's different, Clay. This time it's different because Trump. There's always some way they come back to that. So you're right. I mean, your framing of it is correct. Of course, right? We agree. This is insane. But the way this, first of all the people are going on TV, they know that their ratings are better by just having a constant diet of anti-Trumpism for Democrats. But beyond that, they really convinced themselves that Donald Trump, even though the Mueller probe didn't find the collusion, right? From day one, they thought and they believed, many of them, which I know is insane, that Trump was an illegitimate president. So in a sense, Millie was actually, in their minds, I'm taking you all through a trip into crazy town. Millie wasn't usurping. He was preventing the absolute usurpation of presidential authority to start World War III because Donald Trump never should have been president in the first place. Welcome to crazy town, population Democrats.
Well, I'll also say this. The lesson to me of the Democratic response to Donald Trump is what you hate often ends up defining you. That's an important lesson. It's kind of like a psychological worldview to think about. You have to be very careful that in hating something, you don't allow yourself to become what you claim to hate. Look at everything that Democrats and their allies in the media did to fight Donald Trump and ask yourself this. Who was the bigger threat to American democracy? Twitter, when it's banning articles and the democratically elected president of the United States? The resistance inside of the military that's having secret conversations with America's most foremost foe? The people who are demanding that there be an investigation into Russian collusion? They all claim that they were defending our democracy while at the same time systematically undermining and destroying the foundations of what they claim to love. You have to be careful when you allow hate to drive you, and I sound a little bit like Star Wars here, the hate will end up infecting you to such a degree that what you claim to hate begins to define you. And I think that's what happened to the Democratic Party.
And don't forget, Clay, with great power comes great responsibility.
We can go Spider-Man 2 if we have to.
Going online without using ExpressVPN is like leaving your house without your keys, wallet, and phone. It's far less than desirable. That's putting it mildly. But a VPN is what you need. It's a virtual private network. Think of it like a thick pipe that no one can get into, and it means you're protecting all you do online. You're ensuring your privacy, and we think ExpressVPN makes the best one. Clay and I have it. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. That means passwords, financial details, all of it, Clay. Not if you got ExpressVPN, though.
No, and you need to have and ensure that you have the same thing that Buck and I do. And it's easy to set up. I know a lot of times people are like, ah, this sounds so complicated. It's not. Trust me. Easy to use. Download the app once, set up an account, and then every time you're online, you click one more button for safety and security. And you can fire up the ExpressVPN app to secure your online data today. Visit expressvpn.com/ClayandBuck. That's expressvpn.com/ClayandBuck. And you can get an extra 3 months free. One more time, expressvpn.com/ClayandBuck.
Sir, did General Milley do the right thing, sir?
Thank you.
In your opinion, did General Milley do the right thing?
I have great confidence in General Milley.
Thank you, guys.
If Biden has great confidence in General Milley, we should all not worry about it, I suppose. This is not surprising at all. We knew this. Just like James Comey was the great hero of the hashtag resistance under Trump, now Milley, who still is in his role, right? Comey got fired by Trump, which is why then he turned on him after sucking up to him for months and months. Milley is still chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's not looking like he's going to step down anytime soon, that's for sure. Clay, it's also funny, as I sit here, we got Biden saying Milley's great. We got Lieutenant Colonel Vindman on CNN. Remember that guy on CNN right now? He's just like, oh, I'm such a hero. And before Vindman, you had the lie under oath former acting FBI director on CNN, McCabe, who's their law enforcement analyst. Maybe he can teach you how to get away with a felony. And it's astonishing to see how clearly the Democrats will elevate and reward anybody who is a weapon against their political opponents, no matter what rules they break, how underhanded it is.
Even if the political opponent is out of office, I think that's so significant. We started off today's show talking about what, Buck? That Gavin Newsom had managed to stay in office, and what did he do?
He ran against Trump. He ran against Trumpism, which is amazing. He ran against the boogeyman who does not exist under his bed.
And now what's happening with General Milley? He's a hero. Not because we're even looking at what happened in Afghanistan, which is the most disastrous foreign policy evacuation, maybe the most disastrous foreign policy plan since Saigon in 1975. And now suddenly Milley, who executed that plan to absolute failure, is being praised not for anything that he's actually doing now, but for subverting the United States Constitution and the military relationship with the president, because it had to do with Trump. And this is what I finished off by saying. You are, and I mean everybody out there who is doing this, is allowing themselves to fundamentally destroy the underlying democratic ideals of this country based on their hate for Donald Trump. I mean, think about it. The Washington Post, Buck, wrote, "Democracy dies in darkness" when Donald Trump got elected president. Has any president, I just mean this honestly, any president been more aggressively covered, pilloried, attacked, destroyed by the United States media in our lives than Donald Trump? No, of course not. There's not anybody close. And yet without COVID, he wins re-election by a massive amount because the vast majority of the American public, people who are listening to us right now, understand that Trump is not perfect. But his end result and goals, even if he sometimes is like a bull in a china shop breaking stuff in the process, were the right place. He got to the right result, even if sometimes his methods to get there were flawed.
Let's see what folks think to close this out here. Mark in Louisiana. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to weigh in on being able to use the antibody test as a substitute for the vaccine card. Kind of following up on when Paul's thoughts. And so, I mean, we're at the point where natural immunity exceeds vaccine immunity. I mean, it's no longer disputable. Every single data point, large-scale data sources all show the same thing. And so now the argument is kind of shifting, whereas when I used to make this argument, people would say, well, you don't know that natural immunity exceeds vaccine immunity. And so now that argument is having to shift because so much data is accumulated. And so now the argument is, well, you know, if you have natural immunity and you get vaccine immunity, now you've got this, like, hybrid super immunity. So why don't you do that? So I always tell people, like, the goal has never been, at least it hasn't previously been, to get your chance of contracting COVID at 0.00. The goal is to get to the point where taking a new medication is no longer warranted. So I turn the question back on them and say, look, if there was no limits on the amount of vaccines that you could have, you know, you could have as many as you wanted, how many vaccines would you take before you reach the point where you felt like that risk had been mitigated to the point where you didn't need to take another vaccine? 5 shots, 6 shots, 10 shots? You know, at some point, we reach that point to where the goal wasn't to get it to 0.00. The goal is to reduce it to a point where taking a new medication isn't.
Well, Mark, important. You know, I appreciate it. You know, the incrementalism of the Fauciites has been apparent for a long time. Clay and I have been railing against it since before we were even doing a show together. We're doing our separate shows then. And it's been very clear where they wanted to take us. And it is based on, they wouldn't say it then, they're more open about it now, a principle of zero COVID, which is absurd when you think about it on many levels, because we're never going to get there. But also, look at what has happened. Look at all the stuff they've put the country through, all the lockdowns, the shutdowns, the masks, the forced vaccination. And Senator Rand Paul is totally right. And Clay and I have said this from the beginning here together. If you're 65 and up, get the shot. Right? This is not hard. Because of that is actually what the risk assessment would tell you. But for a lot of the other stuff we've seen, over what? 650,000 people dead, 100 million plus people that have been infected in one way or another based on the estimates. This is what success looks like against it. What would be a poor COVID response in this country?
Amen. And I would encourage you all to go download the podcast, because we had Senator Rand Paul on to start this hour. And what is still not analyzed, discussed, or contemplated enough, in addition to natural immunity, and again, the chickenpox example is a good one. But what Rand Paul told us was, if you're under 25 or under, you have a 1 in a million chance of dying of COVID. Really, the Great Barrington Declaration remains true. We're eventually going to have to get to COVID normalcy through herd immunity. And the best way to do that is as many young and healthy people getting COVID, honestly, as possible. The people who are older, unhealthy, obese, you need to get vaccinated as soon as you possibly can. But the positive is, people over the age of 65, Buck, have like a 93% now percentage of getting the COVID vaccine.
We also need to look more closely at all the data and why cases still remain as high as they are based on what we were told. But we'll have to come back to that one another day. Please do follow Clay on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Buck Sexton, at Clay Travis. Back tomorrow with all of you.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.